Dinner at the legation was almost as elaborate as the fanciest dinners at home. The consul had invited several government officials to dine with them. Kai was very glad she'd worn one of the formal outfits her mother had insisted on. The wife of someone in the Waterways Commission looked Kai over. The implant, loaded with information the consul provided, handed her the names. Kateros, Silas, and Max.
You're very young, aren't you, to captain an interstellar ship?
Fairly young, yes.
I wouldn't let my daughter go out there. So dangerous. Don't you agree, Max?
The woman laid a hand on her husband's sleeve. He turned abruptly.
What, Santa? Ridiculous. Not at all the same, Captain Vada. You've been trained to this life for most of yours, no doubt. Man, what do you think of our homeworld, Captain? We're still in the early stages of development, but already the waterways form a fine transportation network.
It's lovely. I haven't seen much of it yet.
But you did see the harbor today. Quite roomy. As development proceeds, we'll need all that space.
If it doesn't silt up.
Kai looked down the table and queried her info chip. Sam Ferwellen, Minister of Agriculture.
It won't silt up. My engineers assure me that the scour of the Big Yellow will continue to keep it cleaned out.
Max glared down the table, and the Minister of Agriculture subsided.
Captain Vata, I understand you're going to be talking to the EDs about importing some machinery for us.
Clearly, Belinta was not a world given to keeping secrets. Kai just managed not to glance at the Slaughter Key consul. He could have been the source, or perhaps the talkative customs official.
I was told up on your station that equipment you'd ordered had not been delivered and was urgently needed.
That's true. Was supposed to come last year and didn't. We need it badly. We're points below projections on production because of it.
That's not your department, Wellen. Your job is getting the most out of what we've already got.
Minister Katero seemed to puff up like a bullfrog. Kai looked down at her plate. She didn't need a teaching tape to know that the men were rivals, and that Kateros thought he outranked Wellen. Wellen stabbed a slice of roast as if it were Kateros.
I can't plow fields with polo ponies. If we'd imported heavy stock as originally ordered...
They'd be stuck in the muck up there. You just have to get the job done, Wellen.
Do you play polo, Captain Vata?
The men stopped and stared at Silas.
No, I do ride, but I've never played polo. Well, not formally, anyway.
Not formally? What does that mean?
Oh, my brothers and I had read about the game, so we sneaked some brooms out of the pantry and tried it.
You grew up on a planet? There was room for horses?
Kai wondered if the woman thought all spacer crews grew up on ships.
Oh, yes. Slaughter Key has plenty of room. Where I live, many people ride.
Always be ready to talk about any neutral topic, her father had said. You never know what it might be, but be ready.
You should come to a match while you're here. You can use our box.
Thank you. I don't know how much time I'll have.
There's a match day after tomorrow on the city grounds, if you don't have an appointment.
Thank you.
I'll see you have my number.
Kateros looked at the ornate timepiece on the wall.
Oh, good heavens, it's late. We're due at Arrow's wedding rehearsal, Silas. We must go. Please excuse us.
Kateros and the consul both stood, as did Silas, looking confused. The others all stood until Kateros and his wife had left. Then, in a straggle, the other Belintons excused themselves, leaving Kai facing the consul across a cluttered table.
Believe it or not, that went well.
Really? They seemed angry to me.
Oh, they hate each other. But I got them to come and sit through most of a meal together. Captain Vada, if you can possibly stand it, please go watch that polo match. I'm sorry to say that I simply can't make head or tail of it, but you have a clue. Perhaps that will loosen Kateros up a bit and be a chink in their armor.
Kai could, she supposed, watch a polo game and make polite conversation.
I can try.
Good, good. I have transmitted a letter for you to the Economic Development Bureau, and here's a hard copy for you to take tomorrow. Your appointment with the Assistant Minister for Procurement is at 8 local time. That's mid-morning to these people. He's supposedly going to arrange additional appointments for you. Let me know if he doesn't.
Garson Renfro, the assistant minister for procurement, was a tall, thin man with the long face Kai had begun to think of as Belinda Normal.
Can you really get us that machinery?
I don't know yet, but very likely.
How long would it take?
Where had you found it before?
This led to a long explanation of the process, starting with bid requests sent out to a dozen manufacturers and proceeding at glacial pace through every detail of what had happened. Kai kept wanting to interrupt, but made herself listen. Her father had always said no one could tell which detail would make trade and profit, but she was fairly sure none of these would.
So, you were happy with the quality of the bid samples from Farm Power and Pioneer Agriculture Supply, and Farm Power had the closer outlet?
That's right. Actually, five suppliers met the quality standards, but Farm Power gave us the best overall deal, and they charged shipping only from Sabine. We ordered shipping by fastest scheduled carrier, and that was Pavrati. They come in every 60 days.
He looked at her as if she might object.
That's understandable if you had an urgent need.
We did. We do. I can't burden you with all that's involved, but this delay has cost us.
Of course. Now, your government's contract with Pavrati, was it exclusive?
No. The board isn't authorized to make such deals, but they were the next on the schedule. I spoke to the Pavrati captain myself. He assured me they could pick up the machinery on their way outbound from Sabine and just store it until they came back. We'd hoped to have it sooner, that another ship could pick it up on the way in, but he said no, they stop at Sabine after Belinda, not before. But he would be back in about 120 days, he said, and that was well within our parameters.
So when he came back...
He didn't come back. The next Pavrati ship wasn't the right one, and we knew that. We didn't even ask. Then no Pavrati ship came for another 120 days, twice as long as usual. We'd queried, of course, but they had no explanation. When that one arrived, it didn't have our machinery or any explanation. It wasn't the same ship or the same captain, and he knew nothing about our shipment. We'd asked Farm Power in Sabine if the goods hadn't been picked up, and they'd assured us they had. So at least the captain hadn't spent our credit on fancy clothes.
For a moment, the man's gaze rested on Kai's formal captain's cloak, as if it were encrusted with precious gems.
That must have been very confusing.
Confusing and infuriating. Farm Power claimed they'd delivered our goods to the ship we specified, and they had no further responsibility. Pavrati, when we finally got a reply from them, said that taking goods aboard outbound and carrying them on the long legs of the circuit would result in storage charges in addition to shipping charges, whereas we had prepaid only base shipping from Sabine to Belinda. They tried to charge us for the balance right then and there, said it should have been prepaid. And besides, they said, the ship had never arrived at its next stop and was listed missing.
Did you have insurance?
Insurance? Do you have any idea what insurance charges are for a cargo like that? We're a young colony. We don't have money to throw around. Of course, we had some insurance, but not full value. The insurance company won't settle until we can give a cause for non-delivery, and for that we need a statement from Pavrati. They say they won't sign it until we pay what we owe for storage, and we aren't going to pay for storage and shipping of goods that never arrived.
I see. And you want someone to bring a new order?
Kai had never been to Sabine. She wasn't entirely sure what the standard routing was, whether Vata had regular service there.
Yes, but we aren't paying first this time. It's pay on delivery.
Our policy requires at least a deposit on account. You're asking me to change my schedule.
We're not going to be cheated again, you slaughter key pirates.
A moment. Vada Transport Limited are not pirates. We are licensed, bonded transporters.
It's all the same. Take our money and for nothing.
Has anything consigned to Vada ever failed to reach its destination here?
No, not yet.
Not all firms are alike. Vada Transport is sorry that you have not been served well by another firm and that this incident has damaged the image of Slaughter Key businesses.
I suppose it's not actually your fault. But we're so far out.
Which isn't my fault either. Is this the time to push for a mutually agreeable solution?
What do you think happened to the Pavrati ship?
I don't know. They could have had a drive failure.
Drive failure? You mean that happens?
Yes. Usually going into or coming out of FTL space. Any little bit of debris in the jump lane can cause that much damage. It's why we only travel to places with a decent traffic control crew. Or they might have collided with something bigger,
leaving a dangerous smear of debris on the mapped routes.
Piracy, you mentioned. They could have been intercepted somewhere.
But surely Pavarotti would have told us about any of that.
No. In the first place, they may not know what it is yet. And in the second place, they won't want it known, lest someone else profit by the knowledge.
Seems ridiculous. They should at least tell our insurance company.
If they know, yes. But when a ship disappears, space is big and ships are small.
Ships really do disappear. They're not lying about that.
Across Kai's mind ran the list of Vata Transport Limited's disappearances. They had a good record, the result of prudence, hard work, and another dollop of prudence on top, but...
ships can disappear, yes.
Well, then... your consul tells me you have the authority to decide if you want this contract. As I said, we aren't going to pay in advance this time. What are your rates?
We have no consignments for Sabine, and nothing we can sell there.
Kai had tried to find something in the cargo for Lastway that would sell on Sabine, but nothing fit.
And you have no consignments either, do you?
No. We've never had exports to Sabine.
Well, then, that means it's a dry run over and a paying cargo back. If we're not getting an advance, that means a surcharge for the extra distance.
Garson scowled.
Well, think about it. You want us to go out of our way without profit on one leg. If we know we're going somewhere, we carry cargo there, and that means we only need to charge each shipper for the distance their cargo actually travels. Now, have you asked for bidders again, or are you planning to buy from Farm Power?
Well, no.
Well, then let me suggest this.
The haggling continued for hours, with breaks for refreshments, but in the end, she had what she thought was an acceptable deal. She had missed the polo match, but she didn't much care. The closer Kailara came to the Glenis, the more reluctant she felt to tell her crew, her experienced babysitting crew, about her bright idea and the contract she'd signed.
What will they think? Will they insist on telling my father? I'm the captain. I have to approve all communications. Will that stop them?
Gary Tobai met her at dockside.
How'd it go?
I need to talk to you. You and Quincy, anyway.
Trouble?
No. My office, when you can.
Now works for me.
That dashed her hope that she could have a few minutes to think up how to say it.
I'll get someone on dock watch and call Quincy. 10 minutes?
Fine.
Kai went quickly to her quarters and tried to organize her thoughts. Quincy and Gary appeared long before she felt ready.
So, what is it?
We have a contract.
A contract? You mean another contract? You do remember the assignment is to take this ship to Lastway and scrap her.
Yes, I remember. But trade and profit is trade and profit. Belinta was our only time to find delivery. The goods for Leonora and Lastway are all spec. This is a profit run.
Quincy's mouth tightened.
How much? And what do we have to do to get it?
Kai explained about the Pavarotti failure to deliver a prepaid order and the Economic Development Bureau's urgent desire for agricultural machinery before their attempt to open the Hamel Valley to farm settlements failed.
And the profit is enough, with the profit we can reasonably expect from the sale of our Lastway trade goods, to do a refit at some reasonable yard enough to bring her up to spec.
Or almost. Quincy looked down. Kai couldn't read her expression.
Payment or profit?
Profit.
Kai tensed, knowing the next question.
So how much is the advance?
Well, actually, they'll pay on delivery. They paid Pavarotti in advance and the manufacturer in advance, and they don't trust us.
So you're talking a spec run, and do we have to pay for the merchandise?
Yes, but it's hard goods. If they don't cough up, we'll sell it somewhere else. And we get a residual, the rights to any insurance settlement.
Quincy buried her face in her hands.
What? It's not that bad an idea.
Kai. We wondered how long it'd take.
How long what would take?
You! So prim, so proper, so very earnest. I knew it wouldn't last. It never does.
Kailara felt her neck going hot. They were treating her like a child.
You're so Vada, is what he means. Trade and profit, right? If there's an angle. And then it is your first ship.
The thing is, there was no way you were going to take this ship off to scrap if you could help it. I bet that you'd been wondering if you could possibly earn enough for a refit before you ever got aboard.
They were both grinning now. Not sarcastic grins, but genuine glee.
Not exactly. You knew. You knew all along. Did my father know?
Gaspard must have known, she realized. He must have assumed that any Vata would find a way to save a ship from scrap.
He knows you. I don't suppose he knew about the Pavrati non-delivery, no, but he knew you.
I think Ted got it.
Depends on how we set the time. From the time she made the contract or from telling us?
Now what are you talking about? Ted got what?
The ship's pool. Actually, we had two. One for you taking a contract, and one for you figuring out a different way to make a profit.
Kai had not even imagined a ship's pool on her performance.
I don't know whether to laugh or cry. You were all sure I'd try to save the ship?
Did anyone pick no?
I don't think so. I'd have to look at all the entries so far.
Just what did you expect me to come up with?
Who could guess? First-run captains have done all sorts of things. There have even been a few who followed exactly the line they'd been given, but most of those end up working for someone else. Well, let's take a look at this contract you signed. Spec, and we have to buy the goods up front?
Yes.
Could be worse. You've got a letter of credit from the family, I suppose.
Yes, it's on Crown and Spears at Lastway, but that should be negotiable elsewhere. But we also have the payment on delivery for the cargo we brought in. That's actually Vada transport money, though. I'd rather not use it.
Quite right.
So, I thought Sabine Prime. The Economic Development Bureau has given me the specs for what they want. Sabine has several manufacturers of the kind of equipment they want, plus used equipment dealers.
Is that where they ordered it from in the first place?
Yes, from Farm Power. But they'd take equivalent stock from another manufacturer, or used, in order to get something here quickly, they said. And that's in the contract.
Kai pointed out the relevant paragraph.
And how much do you know about farm machinery?
Me? Nothing. But there are books, and it's 2 months to Sabine.
Quincy and Gary both rolled their eyes.
What? You don't think I can learn?
Mitt may know, but let me see that. We may have a load problem.
I checked the hold layouts.
Yeah, but some of these brutes will have to be disassembled. And then we have to shift the last way cargo around. We aren't fully loaded, but we'll need easier access in these tight spaces.
Store some of it here. They aren't paying in advance, so they can store our stuff for free.
But it's worth trying.
Somewhat to Kai's surprise, the Bureau of Economic Development was willing to put Kai's last-way cargo into storage for no fee, as security against their timely return. Kai had Gary check out the sealed storage facility. To her, it looked like any other sealed storage facility. They had no special requirements, so she wasn't nearly as concerned about temperature, pressure, and so on, as about pilferage.
Locks and seals are good quality. If something goes missing, it'll be because someone used the main hatch and the key for it.
What do we do if that happens?
We have their ag machinery, and we'll keep their ag machinery until they return our cargo.
This was getting more complicated by the minute. Kai extracted Aunt Gracie's fruitcakes from the rest of the cargo. Maybe she could unload them on Sabine, and signed off on the stowage contract. Glenys Jones eased away from Belinta Station under her own power, Belinta's single tug service being occupied with an in-system carrier, and Kai tried not to fret. Ted Barash, Mitt's assistant in environmental, had indeed won the pool and used it to treat everyone to a meal just before they left. Kai tucked a mint she'd saved from the dessert tray into her mouth and went back to her calculations. 2 months to Sabine. Say, a week to locate the machinery, a week to do the paperwork, some days to load, to be safe another week, and then 2 months back to Belinta, and a week to unload, process the paper, reload their last way cargo. 5 months, all told, by which time the family would expect to hear that she was in Lastway, though Lastway would still be 4 months away.
I'll have to let them know sometime, but when? Not now, when they might tell me to stop, or send someone to help fix my mistakes. Maybe once I have the cargo loaded at Sabine Prime? Or when I'm back here and they'd be expecting word anyway?
The imagined message appeared in her mental vision.
Hi, Dad. All is well. I'm on Belinta with a load of tractors, and we made a lot of money, and don't have to go to Lastway after all. Your loving daughter... No, definitely not.
Slight delay, don't worry, was much better. Kai forced her mind away from the wording of a message she didn't have to send for several months at least, and called up the ship's reference library. Farm machinery. She knew what they used in the tick plantations back home. She had even been sentenced to a fortnight of hard labor, as she'd thought of it at the time, driving one of the harvesters. The Belinta Economic Development Bureau wanted ag machinery to convert thick forest into productive farmland. As a colony world with limited repair and manufacturing facilities, they wanted machines designed specifically for such use. Very rugged, low maintenance, easily repaired. They were willing to trade off the advantages of multi-purpose machines for the increased lifespan of a dedicated single-purpose machine. What they'd really wanted, what they had intended to have, were draft animals, horses and oxen, self-replicating, self-repairing, long-lived. But they'd been overruled by the aristos among them. Instead of draft animals, they had polo ponies, all owned by the rich, who weren't about to let them pull a cart, let alone a plow. The machine equivalents were faster, if they worked, but right now they had nothing but small tillers people had planned to use in their gardens, hardly suitable for serious farm work. So, tractors to pull various field equipment, multigang plows, harrows, planters, harvesters, rugged trucks to haul their produce on rough roads. Kai thought they were making a mistake not to include road-building machinery in this order, but they were the customer. She compared the specs the EDB had given her to the information in the database and found nothing that the EDB hadn't told her. All these things were fairly standard and should be easy to find. The database also had the current market value of the equipment in the currency of several systems. Unless Sabine Prime's prices were over the top, she should have enough for the cargo. It was going to work. She shut down the library link and allowed herself to relax. She'd been through it again and again, on her own and with Gary and Quincy. It was a good plan, and it had no obvious holes in it.
So what's bothering me?
She wanted to believe it was just the leftover loss of self-confidence from that mess with Mandy Rocher. Naturally, she would distrust her own judgment for a while. But this had nothing to do with Mandy or Mesnarii politics. This was just straight-up trade and profit, something she'd known about since childhood. Simple, straightforward, easy. It was all going to work. Endim transition felt even rougher with no cargo aboard. Kai would have crossed her toes for luck if she could. Quincy reported in when the vibrations settled down.
We really do need to get that tuned. It's degrading faster than I thought it would, to be honest. There's a pretty good shipyard on Sabine that could do us an interim fix. Probably wouldn't take more than 3 or 4 days.
And how much money?
We'd have to ask.
We don't have much. We can't draw on the company accounts for this. The ship's not authorized for repairs. And we're using my letter of credit to cover expenses.
I know. I thought she had at least 10 more transitions in her, but that last one wrenched something. If she's that rough coming back out, we'll have to get it fixed. If not, I suppose we could risk the trip back to Belinta, but I'd rather get something done. I've only got the 3 engineers, you know.
There's nothing we can do now?
Kai already knew there wasn't.
No, it's a sealed unit. It either works right or it starts degrading. I'll tear down the supports, try rebalancing before we shift back, but I don't think it's the supports. I think it's the unit itself.
A rotten little sealed unit the size of a large suitcase could mess up Kai's whole plan. To keep herself from hovering behind Quincy's shoulder during the rebalancing, she took out the ship model and forced herself to work on it. Even if it did remind her of what she'd lost, it was better than driving her crew insane. She kept up her exercise periods using one of the now empty holds. In a way, she found it reassuring that she did not need the rigid schedule of the academy, the shouting of instructors, to make herself exercise. But then, lack of initiative had never been her problem. She was back on the bridge for the down transition. She could not help noticing how many of the crew found it necessary to be there as well. She nodded to Riel, who gave the slightest shrug before touching the controls. Down transition brought them out where they should be. Whatever was giving Glennis the problem didn't seem to affect navigation, at least. But that was all the good news. The ship trembled as vibration stressed her structural members. Kai clenched her teeth to keep from crying out along with her ship. It felt like hours, but only a few minutes passed on the ship's chronometer.
Mandatory repairs. We have to replace that sealed unit.
Kai didn't argue. She could still feel a faint tremor in the ship's fabric. She certainly didn't want to take this ship back through Endym transition again without a repair. Instead, she began downloading Sabine local information. Sabine's manufacturers, drawing on a wealth of raw materials in their system, produced solid, basic agriculture, mining, and construction equipment for many of the colony worlds in this sector. Their advanced sales information systems offered everything Kai needed to plan the stowage of their intended cargo. Sabine also offered a variety of ship services, from consumables to complete refitting. She and her crew pored over the information. If she spent all her letter of credit on agricultural equipment, she would have very little left for repairs. If she didn't, she'd short the order from Belinta. Surely they'd understand if she had to repair the ship. Surely a couple of tractors short wouldn't upset them. But it would. Kailara knew in her bones that they were really as dour, as inflexible, as unforgiving as they'd seemed. They'd accept a fait accompli, but they'd hold it against her, and worse, against Vata and Slaughter Key, forever. She had to find some way of doing it all, fulfilling their order, repairing the ship, getting back to Belinta. There was always credit, though the interest would cut into the profits.
Welcome to Farm Power. We are here to serve your agricultural needs. Please select one of the following options. If you have items on order and wish to check their manufacturing status, please speak now. If you have items on order and have received notice of shipping and wish to check their shipping status, please speak now. If you wish to place an order for new items, please speak now. If you need to register a complaint, please speak now.
I need to speak to a sales representative.
If you need to... Have your invoice number ready.
Kai had no invoice number because she hadn't placed an order yet. The sales prof paid no attention to her interruptions, and she finally gave up. She had to go planetside anyway. She'd contact Farm Power from there. Sabine Prime smelled very different from Belinta. Something acrid got up her nose as soon as she cleared customs. Kai saw no humods at all in the passages, and only about half the people had the telltale bulge of implants. This time, her security escort, a tall, thin man named Seward Humphreys and clad in the charcoal-brown livery of his employer, met her at the shuttle station and guided her to a bubble tube. He seemed alert and competent, but radiated an unwillingness to chat with clients. Kai didn't mind. She had plenty to think about as they neared the capital city. Sabine City, commonly called Sabine or even Prime, had sprawled across a river. The far side appeared to be more industrial, judging by the stacks and cooling towers. The captain's guild here was much larger than that on Belinta. The status board listed dozens of ships. Kai checked in, sent her luggage up to her room, and went directly to the Slaughter Key Embassy. It was only a few blocks away. She chose to walk, her escort silent beside her. Sabine's citizens favored bright colors, a relief after Belinta, and some of them carried a small, round, bright-colored object in one hand. Kai had no idea what it was, but the shapes were the same, even though the colors varied. Ornate glazed tile designs livened the fronts of the buildings, with exuberant decorative arches over doors and windows. Ground vehicles varied from large mass transit cars, some red, some green, to tiny three-wheeled confections in various pastels, which unfolded to reveal a single seat inside. The Slaughter Key Embassy was hardly larger than Belinta's small legation, or so she thought, until she noticed the bustling staff and realized that it must also occupy the adjoining buildings. The desk clerk was heavily tattooed and freckled around the tattoos.
Captain Vada, so nice to see you. We're always glad to see Vada people here. What can we do for you?
Trade and profit. I'm on a contract run from Belinta, picking up agricultural machinery. Do you have performance files on repair yards?
Repair yards? For ag machinery?
No, for ships. I'm wondering whether to have a minor problem fixed here or wait until I get back to Belinta.
It didn't seem a good idea to reveal just how big the problem was.
Oh, you'd want to do that here. Sabine has superb repair yards, and yes, we do have performance stats as reported by Slaughter Key citizens who've used them. Would you like that now or pop to your ship?
Both, please. My engineer has the stats from Belinta for comparison, but I suspect you're right.
Just a moment.
The clerk blinked, accessing the legation's internal database.
There. Anything else?
Reputable sources of used farm machinery. I already have contact with Farm Power, but they're not selling used equipment anymore, they say.
No, they dropped their used equipment sales 2 years ago. Higher profit margin than new. And they just unloaded almost all their stock to the Chigwellen Combine anyway. Chigwellen got the contract for a Twin World system about 8 jumps away, and they bought up just about all the used farm equipment anyone had here.
So, no one has used?
And no one you'd want to buy from, Captain Vada. Farm Power and the other manufacturers all quit taking old machinery and trade after that, and put the money into new manufacturing capacity. Our local agriculture unions sometimes have used machinery, but it's low quality.
I see.
What Kai saw was the start of a problem she hoped wasn't as big as it looked. If she was stuck buying new equipment at top price, but had no ship to get it back to Belinta, she might as well not buy it. On the other hand, fixing the ship, assuming she could, would leave her with no cargo to take to Belinta.
Thank you.
You'll want to pay respects to the council. He takes courtesy calls at 1600 local time on the second and fifth day of the local week. That's tomorrow, which around here they call umport. Shall I put you down?
Yes, thanks.
And here is a hard copy of another file I loaded for you. Local regulations and current warnings pertaining specifically to Slaughter Key citizens. Now pay special attention to the foreigner's curfew, underlined in red. They are serious about that, and you will require a local citizen escort if you need to be out after curfew. You have an escort, I presume?
Yes.
Now, a licensed escort service will suffice, but if you choose to be out with an unlicensed escort after curfew, be sure he or she has his or her citizenship card. It is most inconvenient when our staff is asked to intervene in cases of curfew-related arrests and detentions. And things are rather tense just now.
I understand. I have a licensed escort and no intention of wandering about without one.
Good. And the most important local taboo, on page 18, is underlined in green. Never, under any circumstances, sneeze without using a sprayer immediately afterward.
Kai had had no inclination to sneeze, but now her nose tickled.
But doesn't that spread infection?
It's symbolic. Don't ask me, I think it's stupid, but you'd better buy a sprayer. The cheap ones are actually considered in better taste.
Kai rubbed her nose.
So, anything else?
Nope. I've put you down for the call tomorrow. The council will expect to take tea with you. Allow a half hour, though it will probably be less. It depends on how many show up. Dress is afternoon business. Your captain's uniform is fine.
Thanks.
Kai collected her escort outside the embassy and called up a list of other ag machinery suppliers. None listed prices lower than Farm Power's, but since a few listed no prices at all, she put in queries. She turned to her escort.
Where would I find a, sprayer?
In general merchandising emporiums. There's a shopping arcade just a few blocks away.
Fine, that's where I need to go.
The shopping arcade, floored in tessellated stone laid out in floral patterns, had fascinating little shops on either side, and one large store with several doors. Her escort led her to the farthest, and then to a sales rack whose shelves were covered with items Kai would not have recognized as sprayers. She did recognize them as the rounded objects so many pedestrians carried. Pink, green, blue, yellow, painted with what must be intended as flowers, but she couldn't see how they were supposed to work.
I don't understand.
The incense bead goes in here, and the igniter is there, and you squeeze this.
This was an accordion-pleated arrangement that Kai had not realized could flex.
They're all expanded to show the design, but they compress to fit in a pocket.
Incense bead? Igniter?
For the aroma. If I might recommend, a neutral scent, like rainwater, is most appropriate for professional visitors. There are presumptions made about, for instance, honey musk or spiced fruit, no matter what your intentions.
So where are the incense beads?
He pointed out little packets of tiny round beads in various colors. Kai found falling rain and then picked out the least garish of the sprayers, green with blue flowers. She paid cash for them and then had her escort explain how to insert the incense bead and how to compress and then operate the sprayer. He didn't smile, but she could sense his approval. Stupid tourist does something right for once. When she queried her insert, she found a list of prices from other suppliers. None better than Farm Power.
Drat!
She had to hope now that either Farm Power or a repair yard would extend credit based on her family name. She had better check again with her crew on the extent of necessary repairs. Back at the Captain's Guild, she called up to the orbital station. She was entirely unprepared for Quincy's reaction when Kai showed her the sprayer and explained its use.
That's the silliest thing I ever saw.
I know. But what I need now is your best assessment of what repairs we absolutely have to make and what we can defer. Nobody's selling used ag equipment, and nobody's prices, that I'd trust anyway, are lower than Farm Power's.
The sealed unit, of course. But, Kai, we can't tell about the rest of it until we tear down the whole drive sequence. Depending on how much damage it did as it degraded, we could have cavitation in the main chambers. And once we start tearing it down, we're committed to fixing whatever it is.
Yeah, I know. Well, tomorrow I have a courtesy call to pay on the console. He only takes courtesy calls 2 days a week. And in the meantime, I'll see what I can do about arranging financing. There's no way my cash on hand will pay for both the equipment and the repairs. We'll have to find a cooperative soul who will trust our honest faces.
I wouldn't count on that.
I'm not. It's wishful thinking. But something has to work.
Well, that's the captain's problem. Mine is diagnosing something without looking at it. But just for your information, the going rate for a new sealed unit here is 50,000 credits, installed.
Something was going to have to give somewhere. Kai forced herself to eat a solid, stodgy meal in the solid, stodgy dining room of the Captain's Guild and hoped none of the other captains could see past her face to her fears. No one spoke to her but the waiter. She signed the tab and went back to her room to wrestle with information available on the public net and the intractable number of zeros on her letter of credit. Farm Power, in the tail end of its recorded sales pitch, mentioned its credit terms. Sheer robbery, but she didn't have to worry about the interest.
We do not extend credit off-planet. This includes consignment carriers. Please make arrangements with the financial institution of your choice. Farm Power apologizes for any inconvenience.
So I'll have to pay cash for the ag equipment. Fine, then I can find a lender for the ship repairs. Lots of people borrow to pay for ship repairs.
By morning, she had a list of the equipment she needed and signed on to Farm Power's interactive sales site again. Prices were up 3.8% from what Belinta had paid. Not surprisingly, but still. She was going to have to find a lender for that, too, or have no down payment for the ship repairs. The list of financial institutions willing to do business with a First Trip independent captain, even one named Vata, was short and not sweet. Over half were lending companies whose own ratings didn't make her cut. Her name and letter of credit got her an interview with the loan department at Crown and Spears, but their rates were high. The loan officer was an older woman with silver hair pulled back into a braid.
I have the signed contract with Belinta's Bureau of Economic Development.
Kai tipped the fact to the loan officer's implant.
That's good. That means we can almost certainly approve the loan. It does not, of course, change the interest rate.
Kai's implant calculated the total cost, including transfer fees, and compared it to the profit margin she'd originally loaded.
Ouch.
And I should warn you that the way events are proceeding between Sabine Prime and Sabine Secundus, you would be wise to procure any necessary funds soon. Interest rates will be rising, I'm quite sure.
From her earliest training, Kai knew that anyone pressuring for a quick deal had other priorities than the customer's welfare. But when she queried the implant's news feed, she found that the woman was right. Sabine Secundus and Sabine Prime had long been at loggerheads over some obscure religious matter, and it looked like the conflict might erupt in violence any moment. The market, though volatile, looked to be headed up, in anticipation of hostilities that would require increased manufacture of war goods.
Great. I'm short of money, with a ship needing repair and a contract, and I might be in the middle of a war as well. How many other rules of safe trading can I break?
Kai thought for a few moments. The woman didn't rush her. If she could get the cargo up to the ship, then trouble on the surface couldn't prevent her from getting it. And the ship repair facilities were in space, where, again, a surface war wouldn't affect them. True, Secundus had supporters on the mining world Tertius, but her implant indicated no ability by either Prime or Secundus to sustain a war in space. She would rather have locked in ship repair first, but in the event... Kai arranged the loan as quickly as she could for as much of the purchase price as she could. From the bank, she was able to contact Farm Power and arrange transport of the machinery to orbit. At least freight on board in the price meant that delivery was covered, though not transferred to her ship. From the bank's secure comm booth, she let Tobai know what was coming and when, and briefly explained the political and economic problems involved.
And yes, I know we still have to get the ship repaired, but at least we won't have the cargo impounded.
I see your point. When is delivery?
Tomorrow or the next day, depending on cargo shuttle availability. They say it'll take 4 shuttles, and their estimated load time here is 6 hours per. They're starting to move the cargo to the shuttle port now, though. Or anyway, they said within 4 hours. I'll keep on it.
Fine, you do that. If we're in a hurry, we may need to hire some temp labor for loading.
We can't. At least we shouldn't.
Kai looked at the time when she came out of the booth. Close enough to her courtesy call on the console. The morning's calls had all taken longer than she hoped. Her implant reported that she could get by without returning to the Captain's Guild for a trip through the fresher. A simple tuning of pores. Her skin tingled briefly, and for a moment she smelled a sharp herbal scent she couldn't name. Then it vanished. Someone sneezed across the walkway and instantly yanked a screaming yellow sprayer from his pocket and sprayed something that smelled like melons. Kai tried not to stare. Other pedestrians ignored him, Kai noticed.
Captain Vata.
Yes?
I am receiving information relevant to your safety. It is my considered advice that we proceed immediately to the embassy.
What's going on?
I would rather not speculate. My concern is your safety, and I am sure your officials will explain if there is need.
If the loan department at the bank was worried, and her escort was worried, perhaps she herself should be worried.
Well, that's where I was going anyway. It's only a short distance. Do you think it's still safe to go on foot?
At present, yes.
Good. Let's go then.
By the time she reached the embassy, she knew something was going on. The streets were oddly quieter. Though people were talking, they had lowered their voices. Pedestrians would occasionally stop short, listening to their implants, probably, and then stride on, looking tense. Kai wondered if any of them were reservists being called to active duty. Her escort ducked into the guard's kiosk. Kai went on into the building.
Ah, Captain Vata, have you heard the news?
That Secundus and Prime are unhappy with one another, yes.
There's been a demonstration at Majel Dis in Secundus. We just heard 4 deaths confirmed, many injured.
Kai could think of nothing to say.
Now, the Council would not commit the discourtesy of failing to greet you, Captain, but he is rather busy and would appreciate it if your visit could be brief.
Of course.
We will be updating our citizens with whatever information we have, of course. We recommend that you authorize an override to your implant so that we can send to you directly whether your skull phone is on or not.
That's fine.
Kai thumbprinted the form he held out.
Now, let me show you to the reception room.
The reception room, a parlor overlooking a small garden planted with native Slaughter Key flowers, was centered with a large table laden with refreshments. The consul greeted Kai warmly as if nothing were going on and led her to a pair of chairs near the window.
Captain Vada, so pleased to see you. I'm Das Verden, senior consul. Does this mean that Vada Transport is setting up more frequent regular service here?
Not to my knowledge, sir. I am on a contract run from Belinta.
Ah, Belinta. We have had complaints from that quarter.
They blame Slaughter Key for the Pavrati not delivering their ag machinery.
I know. They said so many times. I tried to explain that Slaughter Key and Pavrati Shipping were not the same entity, that we had no control over Pavrati, and so on. I understand you're here on the same errand from Belinta?
Yes. Perhaps Vada can redeem Slaughter Key.
I hope so. You're aware of the political problems we have here now.
I just heard.
I was wondering, Captain, if perhaps you could do us a favor.
Of course, if I can.
We have 4 Slaughter Key citizens on the beach at present. One of them caught Chahoki fever. He and the others were quarantined, and their ship left without them. They've been here almost 6 months. Their visas are running out, and although I might get an extension, this is not the best time to ask for one. I wonder if you need any extra crew, or if you'd be willing to take them as supercargo until you can drop them someplace they're likelier to find work.
We're not a large ship.
But spacers helped stranded spacers, unless stranded for the wrong reasons, and Tobai had said they could use help.
We don't have funds to pay their passage, but we can pay their way up to orbit, and we could offer a small sum toward supplies for them. Sabine Prime has a history of impressing foreigners without high status into their military. I can't stand by and see these people conscripted, and yet I can't keep them in the embassy.
What are their records like?
Ordinary.
Kai's implant lit, and she looked over the files Verdin had just sent her. Experienced, licensed in their specialties, no black marks from their last 2 employers, all that their traveling records held.
I can do it. But I'm ashamed to admit I'll need that honorarium for extra supplies. Belinta demanded that I purchase the cargo, and we had a bit of trouble on the way, so we also need some repairs. Supplies for another 4 people are just out of range.
We can stretch to that, and thank you. They will thank you as well. Shall I send them up, or do you want to meet them?
Kailara was not going to foist onto her loyal, experienced crew some strangers she hadn't even met.
I want to meet them. Are they here?
Yes, we'll just have a cup of tea and...
His face went blank. Then he shook his head.
I'm sorry, Captain, but it's urgent, and I must respond. I'll have them sent in. Take as long as you like chatting, but I would recommend you have Czar arrange their shuttle tickets and your honorarium as soon as possible. Things are getting nasty over on Secundus.
Verdin left the room, and a few minutes later, the clerk, Czar, ushered in 3 men and a woman, all in spacer clothes. They looked at Kai, and the woman gave a tentative smile.
Captain Vada of Vada Transport?
Yes, I'm Captain Vada. You're Specialist Lucen Kaloran Lee, environmental, right?
Yes, Captain. 13 years experience. We were hoping, wondering, if maybe...
The consul explained you were all stranded thanks to Chahoki fever. Your ship left you behind.
That's right.
And you need a ride somewhere. I said I'd meet you and we'd see.
Thank you, Captain. They left us high and dry, and only the minimum in our drop account, too. We tried to get work, both shipside and downside. Truly, we did.
I believe you.
The record the embassy had kept showed that. The consul clearly thought they were honest and diligent. They had even taken over work in the embassy garden, to the chagrin of the former gardener.
It's a small ship. We're headed to Belinta with a load of agricultural machinery. After that, Leonora, and after that, Lastway. But at either Belinta or Leonora, you might be able to find another berth. I can't pay you.
That's fine, Captain. Just to get away from Sabine, that's enough.
Lee turned to the others.
This is Specialist Seth Garland, also environmental, Technician Paro Hospitan drives maintenance, and Specialist Caleb Skeldon, cargo.
Kai knew that already from the files the consul had given her, and was interested that Lee introduced them in strict order of seniority, and the others said nothing as she did so.
Well, let's just chat a little. Specialist Garland, you have 7 years ship service, is that right?
Actually 12, Captain, but only 7 in environmental. I was hoping to make pilot, but turned out to have an immune problem with the pilot implants. Legacy of a childhood bout of tick fever, they thought. My family had a farm up on the North Coast. And yes, I was the one who got sick here.
Kai knew vaguely that tick fever was a problem on Slaughter Key's North Coast, but otherwise nothing about it, and it wasn't relevant at the moment anyway.
Well, you're out of quarantine now. How about you, Technician Hospitan?
My training's from Pierce Institute. I have an A-class certificate in drives for both in-system and FTL drives. 6 years onboard experience. My last requal exam was 18 months ago, just before signing on Apple Blossom Song, the ship that left us here. Most of my shipboard experience has been with Plaquemine Morrison 8800 in-system drives and the Rawlings Series GFTLs, but I did my onboard apprenticeship in an old R-class freighter with PM-42s for in-system and a 2C FTL.
Our FTL's a Rawlings F-230. It's needing replacement of the sealed unit and possibly more.
If the sealed unit goes bad in a Series F, you're looking at cavitation damage in the main chamber as well. The back buffer wasn't nearly as good in that series.
We're looking into it.
Kai glanced at the last man.
Caleb Skeldon, Captain. Cargo specialist. Mostly I've been in charge of refrigerated holds, and I have only 3 years onboard experience, 8 months of that on Apple Blossom Song. Before that, I worked for a downside shipping firm, warehouse inventory and maintenance.
All very straightforward, as were they all. Kai saw nothing in their faces or demeanor that rang warning bells. She ignored the fact that Skeldon looked to be about her own age and had chiseled features, wavy blonde hair, and a dimple. Aside from the light hair, he could have been Hal's brother. That was irrelevant. She was an officer, after all, and his looks meant nothing to her. What mattered was that these four were Slaughter Key citizens in a jam. The little voice in her head that said, "Here you go again, leaping to rescue," could surely be ignored this time. She was doing a good deed, that was all, and at the request of the consul. No one could disapprove of that.
Well, let me tell you about me and my ship, and then if you want to come with us, we'll talk to that clerk about arranging your transport up.
They nodded. Skeldon opened his mouth as if to speak, but subsided at a glare from Lee.
I'm one of the Vada family, but I'm here on a private contract, not a family contract. The ship's old, but until the problem on the trip here from Belinta, she seemed sound. And we're having that repaired, I hope. Our contract calls for us to deliver a cargo of agricultural machinery to Belinta. We'll leave as soon as the cargo's loaded and repairs are finished. It's a several-week trip. Our crew capacity is 20, and our environmental system could handle twice that number easily. At the moment, we have 10 crew aboard. Any questions?
When may we go up, Captain?
Let me ask that clerk.
Czar must have been listening in, because he had all the preliminaries taken care of.
This afternoon shuttle is all booked, Captain, but I have them listed on tomorrow mornings, on the embassy account.
Good.
And I can cut you a check for their share of mess expense from here to Belinta, also on the embassy account. Standard government reimbursement. I'd suggest you purchase supplies quickly. The situation's getting nastier by the minute.
Right. Can they stay in the embassy until the shuttle leaves?
It would be advisable. They've been in transient housing. You have anything back there? If so, I'll send a uniformed runner for it.
We didn't want to leave anything the way things were. Our duffel's with us.
Good, good. I'm afraid the accommodations aren't great. You'll have to share space with the embassy's guard detachment, and we've canceled all leave and liberty. Captain, if you'll come this way, and Lee, I'll send someone to take you to the guard quarters shortly.
Thank you, Captain Vada. We hoped, and of course, Vada.
Come on, Captain. We'll have them escorted to the shuttle station tomorrow. Shouldn't be any trouble, I hope. It's a big help you're taking them off our hands like this. We really don't have room here to shelter them. We've got a half dozen merchant families, resident here for years, who are coming in tomorrow for the duration, plus the children of a dozen more, and we're going to be crowded. We're setting up dormitories upstairs, but that's not your affair. Now let's see about that check. Wait, here's the schedule of standard payments. If you need to file a protest...
Kai's implant compared the cost of standard rations from a Chandler at the orbital station to the reimbursement.
No, that's fine. Do you have a comm set I can use to contact my ship and let them know what's coming?
Of course, Captain Vada. Secure set, right over here.
A cabinet in the corner of the room. While Zar began the surprisingly lengthy process of transferring embassy funds to her account, she contacted Riel Amat on board ship and explained the situation, sending along the personnel files, and told him to go on and order supplies.
Are you sure about this, Captain? Four strangers? And with a war starting?
The embassy vouched for them. It was an official request. They were stranded because of a quarantine matter. Their ship wouldn't wait. And now they're subject to conscription, the consul said. Gary said we'd need help reconfiguring those machines to get into our holds. The embassy's paying their mess expenses.
But no passage fee?
No. And yes, I know we need the money. But they're our people, Riel.
I hope so.
Kai wondered if he thought he should be in command.
Besides, Dad always said the government reimbursement schedules were generous. There'll be a little left over after you order the supplies.
I hope that, too. All right, I'll place the order right away. Four additional. When are you coming back up?
When I arrange financing for the repairs. Let me speak to Quincy.
Riel cut Quincy into the circuit.
What's your estimate now, anyway?
I can tell you more in another 24 hours. Tear down slow on this old girl. Last people who put her together meant her to stay that way. Listen, Captain, if there's war brewing, you'd best come back up here. It may be time to contact Vada headquarters and arrange repairs through them. I know this wasn't your assigned mission, but...
Kai could just imagine her father's reaction.
I'll see what I can do here. You don't have the full specs on the repair yet anyway. I'll be careful.
Kai signed off before either could say more and came out of the booth. Zar handed her a hard copy of the transfer. Her implant agreed that the money was in the ship's account. Maybe this was a sign that things would now go right. The Helmsward Yard seemed the perfect combination of quality and value for the repairs, until Kylara said she needed to arrange financing.
I'm sorry, Captain Vada, but it's against our policy to extend credit to independent captains for major repairs.
But I'm not an independent. I'm part of Vada Transport Limited.
The finance officer looked at her from under bushy gray brows. It was clear he wasn't entirely sure of her identity at this point.
But your application states that you are incurring this risk as an individual. Are you representing Vada Transport Limited or yourself?
I am Kylara Vada. My father is CFO of Vada Limited. But this particular venture is my idea.
In other words, you are applying as an individual. And it is as an individual that I must reluctantly refuse your application. I have no doubt that you have your own reasons for doing this, but we simply do not extend credit to individuals.
But my family...
is not in the contract, Captain. No, I'm sorry, we simply cannot do it. Good day.
It was not a good day. It had not been a good day since Quincy had called down to report that the misbehaving drive had cavitation scars you could put a fist into. Now it was more than squeezing out the 50,000 credits for the sealed unit. This was going to take big money. It had become even less of a good day when the Captain's Guild inquired delicately just how long Captain Vada meant to stay, and when Captain Vada would like to settle her bill, and with what. Kai reminded the desk clerk that Vada Transport Limited's account was in all stations classified 5A and thus had no limit, and found that the concern arose because she was not on the list sent to them yearly of expected Vada arrivals. They agreed to retract their request when she was able to prove who she was, but the argument frayed her patience. It was clear from the streets that the threat of war had frayed everyone's patience. And now this... She walked out of the office with as much grace as she could muster and wondered what now. Her escort fell in beside her without a word. He had already suggested that she stay in the Captain's Guild or return to her ship for her own safety, and she had already refused. She had a contract. She now had the merchandise to fulfill that contract, but she didn't have enough money to repair the ship. She could get the merchandise, but then she couldn't get it back to Belinta. Or she could get the ship repaired enough to make it back without the merchandise. It was like those logic problems in the children's activity cubes, where a problem seemed impossible unless you looked at it in a very different way.
Ship or merchandise?
Impossible, which meant it had to be the wrong question. She could not, would not, renege on her deal with the Belinta Economic Development Bureau. That would foul the family name, even though she had taken on the contract as an individual. Vata would come through. Vata had to come through. So there had to be some way to get the merchandise and the repair. She just hadn't thought of it yet. The obvious thing was to call home, tell Vata Transport Limited what the problem was. They would bail her out, she knew that. But it would be, if not a black mark, a gray one. She had not followed the plan laid out for her, and even if Gary and Quincy had made it clear no one really expected her to take the ship tamely to Lastway, her decisions had led to a problem involving cash flow, which was embarrassing. She hadn't overspent an allowance since she was 9 and bought all that candy for visiting cousins. She really wanted to find a better way. There wasn't a better way. If she didn't want to renege on the contract, and she didn't want to risk spreading herself and her crew in a fine dust somewhere in deep space, she had to have more money, and no one, on the brink of a war, was going to lend it to an independent. Back at the Captain's Guild, she ignored the desk staff and went on up to her room. Best get it over with. She set up the room's secure comm desk for an intersystem call and waited for the access light to go green. While she waited, on these smaller worlds it could take a few minutes, she kicked off her shoes and hung her dress cape in the closet. The room seemed stuffy after the crisp air outside, but the windows didn't open. Shrugging, she sat on the end of the bed and massaged her feet with one eye on the comm desk. The little voice in her head ran through all the things her father might say and the tone of voice he might use, and she carried on a long imaginary conversation defending her actions so far. The light was still red.
Did I set up the call wrong?
She reached out for the hard copy sheet of directions to check that. It shouldn't do that. No local call should come in while the comm desk was set up for intersystem access, even if it was on standby.
Yes?
Captain Vada, our board shows that you are attempting to place an intersystem call.
Yes, I am. Who is this?
We require an additional credit deposit for intersystem calls. Please make arrangements with the desk staff.
My credit here is 5A. That is supposed to cover all services.
We have no prior record of your account. Vata Transport Limited has a 5A account, but you...
We went over this already. I am Kailara Vada. My father is Gerard Vada, CFO of Vada Transport. You've already verified my identification.
But you are here as an independent. We have received information from Helmsward Yard to that effect. I'm afraid we cannot consider your account covered by Vata Transport Limited's credit rating. We will expect you to settle your account another way. And in the meantime...
Rage brought her up off the bed almost to tiptoe. She clamped her jaw on the words she wanted to say, starting with whatever worm at Helmsward Yard had called the Captain's Guild, and continuing with the ancestry, present attributes, and probable post-life destination of the person on the line.
How unfortunate. Since I was in the process of calling home to instruct my father that I would need more funds to secure an investment opportunity. However, I don't need your equipment to make that call. Excuse me.
Kai signed off the comm desk, jammed her feet into her shoes, and reached for her cape. She could use the embassy link to the ship, and the ship had its own intersystem link capacity if the consul didn't feel like trusting her for an intersystem call.